SB2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Hurricane Ernesto is picking up speed and could become a Category 3 storm as it heads towards Bermuda. Michael Brennan's tracking it from the National Hurricane Center.
We're expecting a northward and then a northeastward motion over the next few days that's going to bring the center of Ernesto near or over Bermuda during the day on Saturday.
But the U.S. could start feeling its effects as early as tomorrow. CBS's Christian Benavides is in Miami.
Forecasters say the Northeast could see 8-foot waves, and the Carolinas, still recovering from Tropical Storm Debbie, could experience a swell build as early as Thursday.
Half of Puerto Rico doesn't have power right now. Inflation is down to its lowest levels in 3 years, but the White House says there's still more work to do. Jared Bernstein heads the Council of Economic Advisors.
Healthcare, childcare, housing, junk fees, prescription drugs, healthcare coverage. In every one of those areas, the president and vice president are taking aggressive action, not just to keep inflation on this lower path, but also to ensure that we're cutting costs wherever we can.
The latest figures also set up the Federal Reserve to finally make interest rate cuts as soon as next month. Ceasefire talks could be in limbo as Iran's threats to attack Israel loom in the Middle East. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
Hamas is leaving some room, some hope open looking ahead after tomorrow. They said that if there is some kind of breakthrough with the people who will be attending, then Hamas could come back after Thursday.
Another U.S. citizen has been detained in Russia. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
A Moscow court sentenced Joseph Tater to 15 days on charges of disorderly conduct. According to Russia's top criminal investigation agency, the American man was accused of attacking a police officer.
The State Department says it's still working on getting more information. The World Health Organization says Mpox is now a global emergency. Cases have spread in 13 African countries, killing more than 500 people. Worse, they say, than an outbreak in 2022 that spread primarily among gay and bisexual men. NASA says it still doesn't have a solid timeline to get a pair of astronauts back home. The latest from CBS's Allison Keyes.
They knew this mission might not be perfect.
NASA's chief astronaut Joe Acaba is blunt about the situation for astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams.
If Butch and Sonny do not come home on Starliner and they are kept aboard the station, they will have about 8 months on orbit.
They may have to catch a ride on the next SpaceX flight, but Acaba says the two will do whatever they are asked. It's their job as astronauts.
That SpaceX flight wouldn't happen until early next year, possibly February. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voter turnout Tuesday in Wisconsin's fastest growing county was 45%. That's the highest for a fall primary in Dane County in 40 years. Democrat Kelda Royce represents Madison in the state Senate.
You know, Wisconsin is always a swing state. It is on a knife's edge. So I don't think that anybody should be feeling overconfident, but I do think that all the facts point to the election trending blue.
Turnout in Wisconsin's other big blue county, Milwaukee County, was 33%. 16 Republican state lawmakers won their primaries easily Tuesday. The closest races are won by Paul Tittle, who took nearly 60% of the vote, and Chaz Green and Karen Hurd, who won 57%. WisPolitics reports insiders expected more of an anti-incumbent wave. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Game 3 of the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers hoping to snap a 3-game losing streak tonight when they host the LA Dodgers again. The Dodgers winning last night 7-2. They hit 4 home runs, including one for second baseman Gavin Lux, who was drafted by the Dodgers back in 2016 out of Indian Trail High School in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th homer of the year. That's the most in the National League. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers back in Madison after breaking camp during a 2-week stay in Platteville. NFL, Packers getting ready ready to take on the Broncos in Denver Friday in a joint practice session. Quarterback Jordan Love.
I think it's good. Like I said, just be able to see somebody new, practice against a new team, and kind of that practice atmosphere where you get to see a lot more, and then you get to go back and break it down the film. So it's good to just be able to see new looks. You know, we've been going against our defense every day, so just be able to get a new feel on defense is always good.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, upper 70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday. High mid-70s. The weekend looks nice with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. Right now it's 76.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll have Joe Zepecki with news analysis and our Women Win Wisconsin visit, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Conrad is riding shotgun tonight, as always. Conrad, how are you?
You know, I'm a little wired right now. I had a coffee at 2 o'clock, so I'm up and ready.
So what does that mean, a coffee at 2 o'clock? Is that crazy for you or what?
Yeah. I usually drink it around like 9 if I want some caffeine.
Well, what's the occasion?
I just wanted to try the coffee place next door.
Oh, how was there? Oh, we tried the gelato.
Yes.
How's the coffee?
The coffee was good. I just had a cold brew with a little cream in it.
Okay.
So
wow.
It was good.
Yeah, those guys... they're pretty cool guys. They're always walking by. They smoke right outside our studio here, which I think is really offensive, to be honest. But no, but they're always out there smoking, and they're just like, they're just friendly guys. They got the perfect guys working at that store. Well, that's fun. So are you excited about our guest tonight?
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
We get some comedy. You said a little bit of ghost story maybe too.
There's a ghost story, but we also get to see what's coming up at the Meyer Theater. And it's not just like Frank Herman's and Let Me Be Frank Productions. That's kind of their place. And their stuff is always great. I think the Bay Beach Boys is there this week. And then some other Frank shows. But then they've got a lot of other really cool stuff coming up. That is such a beautiful theater. It is an absolute treasure. In fact, I went to a movie there a few years ago called Gags the Clown, my buddy Adam Krause's film, and I took my son Joe, and we went in there, and it was the first time I'd ever been in the Meyer, and I was like, there's a theater like this in Green Bay? Like, it was that beautiful. So I think it's really cool that we have a theater like that here in Northeast Wisconsin, and I cannot wait to talk about it with Matt Gable. So we have a little bit of, okay, so this is a funny thing. Let's drop the question of the day.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. What is today, Conrad? National Days of the Year. We've got some.
It's National Drive-Through Day.
Drive-Through. Okay. So I think everybody has a drive-through story. I know I have drive-through stories. I told the story recently on this show about how I was in a drive-through line and forgot to order. I was on the phone. Thought I ordered and just stayed in line and got up to the window. And there was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he didn't even mean to be. He just thought I was a complete idiot. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker. And this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life. I had to explain to him. But the more I explain, the dumber I sound. I'm like, no, I get that. I just didn't do it this time. like, there's no way I could have backed out of that, you know? I've gone to drive-thrus. I've paid and left without my food, usually after a couple of cocktails when I was younger. But what is your drive-thru story? I know we all have them. And tonight, we want to hear yours. That's our question of the night. What's your drive-thru story? Is it embarrassing? Is it heartwarming? I did see something on Instagram recently, a reel, where a guy pulled up and he said there's a woman in the parking lot. He told this to the drive-thru attendee while he was ordering. He said, I just want to let you know there's a woman out here offering to give men sexual favors if she gets a Big Mac, a large fry, and a Coke. And the guy in the window said, he goes, "Oh, thank you for telling me that, sir. We'll get right on that. Okay, can I have your order?" "Yeah, I'll have a Big Mac, large fries, and a Coke." Oh, it was gorgeous. And then one of my favorite jokes is a stupid guy goes into a library and says, "Hey, I'll have a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke." And the librarian goes, "Sir, this is a library." And he goes, "Oh, sorry, cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke." So there's tons of stupid drive-through stories. Feel free to share yours. We'll read it on the radio. Always fun to do. Jim Denny checking in on the stream. Hello, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Jim, good to have you with us tonight, buddy. Where are you from, Jim? It's always nice to know where people are from. Where are you listening from? We'd love to hear that. Lots of stuff going on, too. Todd Michaels, the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show, I probably would have found this, but Todd is just like on it. Like, all I do is comb the entertainment websites all day. But Todd beat me to the punch on this one for sure. The Hawktua girl, supposedly her fame, her 15 minutes might be up. And I have mixed emotions on this because we kind of made fun of her with our sketch we did a couple weeks ago about, you know, we took a sneak peek at her reality show and how it's just kind of ridiculous that this woman who did basically an oral sex maneuver would have her own reality show because of it, or that she would do stand-up comedy like it was rumored. Well, they're rolling this poor girl out like she's an actual celebrity. And I think there's a big difference between social media star and someone who just is like a one-time viral thing. Because this is terrible. They brought her out to introduce someone, and the crowd did nothing. And then she tried to make it better, and they did even less. So let's hear that, Conrad. That was her, by the way. And then she says another thing, and it gets worse.
The crowd went silent.
They went from disinterested to, "Oh, dear God, get off the stage. We've had enough of you." And that's to be expected. And this poor girl has probably listened to all these people who want to sink their hooks into her and make money off her because she did Hawktua. That's not enough to build a career around. I know that sounds crazy because she's cute, but that's not enough. It's not enough to develop a reality show around or put a comedy act together. That wasn't funny what she did. It was sort of like off color and caught them by surprise, and therefore it went viral. It wasn't really funny. I still, for the life of me, don't get the Hawk part. When did loogies become sexy? Which is weird, but I do feel bad about it for her. And I, even when we did that sketch a couple weeks ago, it was more just at the absurdity that this girl is on the path to fame because of one thing she said that went viral. It's the absurdity of our culture and social media. Like a day or two after she did that, I think it was Luke Bryan pulled her on stage. And she did the Hawktua thing, and people went nuts. It was like a Simpsons episode. Well, she might be done. Or maybe coincidentally, Conrad, everybody in that crowd happened to miss the Hawktua thing, and they just don't know what she was talking about.
I don't know about that.
I doubt it, too. I did feel bad a little bit. But come on. You want to be a comedian? Go earn your chops. Go hit some open mics. You want a reality show? Think of an idea beyond Hawktua that makes you interesting. Haley Welch is her name. I'm not even talking to Haley. I'm talking about the people that created all this merch. And it's the whole thing is nauseating. All right. Hawktua. So what else is going on? We got Margarita Day, all kinds of stuff.
Tequila Day.
So yeah. I immediately go to Margarita. I thought, all right, Conrad, you're a sports fan.
Yeah.
And you were a player of sports, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. What did you play, football?
Football, basketball, and baseball.
I know you played football because you said football, not football. Football. I played football.
Football.
You played basketball too?
Yeah.
Nice. What was your position?
I played left bench.
Well, that's more important than right bench for sure. You're more likely to. Well, I ask you because I saw this yesterday on another thing Todd shared. The Atlanta Falcons drafted actor John Wayne in the 17th round of the 1972 NFL draft.
In
1972, John Wayne was 64 years old at the time. But the Atlanta Falcons wanted to symbolize that they valued men who were tough. I wonder if they knew he had dodged the draft at that point. They didn't want to value men who were tough. They wanted to value men who portrayed tough men. They didn't go out and get an actual... It's like the Bill Burr joke. You know, in Philadelphia, they have a statue of an actor who played Rocky. When they have an actual Rocky story, Joe Frazier, who won the heavyweight title. They didn't have a statue of Joe Frazier. They had a statue of Rocky. That's the symbol of Philadelphia. And I love that. Like, listen, nobody loves movies and TV more than me. But be real. Celebrate them for what they are. But drafting John Wayne, he must have got his ass kicked in camp, don't you think? 64?
I guess they might have cut him because did you see him play a snap?
I did not. And he ran like a 10.640. So he didn't really, he didn't have a shot. And I think they knew that. And I appreciate that. But like, you know, in 1972, you could have drafted like Richard Roundtree or Gene Hackman, one of these like guys who kind of were tough in real life too. And maybe John Wayne was, but I know a lot of his mystique has been debunked a little bit. Great actor, but that's what he was, an actor. Conrad, you said you have a drive-through story, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right, why don't you share that with us before we move on to Jake Snell's comedy?
So I got a friend that would do just about anything for $100.
Whoa.
So one of my other friends dared him to go through a McDonald's drive-through, get an ice cream cone, and then when he gets it, dump it on his head. And he took a video of it. He actually dumped it on his head.
Do you have the video still?
I don't.
Oh, we should totally track that down. Put that.
I think I could find it, actually.
Okay.
But he does that.
That's beautiful.
He comes back to us and he goes, I'll do another one for $20 too.
20? The second one was going to be $20?
Yeah. He's like, it was easy. I just $20 and I'll do it again.
He's working his way down.
So he does it again. Just sometimes you do... something stupid for,
you know, for $100. That's a,
yeah,
that's not even a contest. I mean, you got to do that for $100 is $100. It's just ice cream.
Yeah.
My friend, Dan, after bar time did not have a car and walk. He stood in the drive-through lane and ordered. He was like between two cars, people beeping at him and he gets up and takes his food. And, you know, I love that stuff.
I'm surprised they let him do that.
Just stupidity. You know, I think it is against the law. Oh, here's another drive-through story I have for you. Okay, so at Starbucks, I went there and I was on my way out of town. I think I was coming to Green Bay, maybe to do this show. I don't know if I was doing this show yet or not, but I got the wrong order. They messed up my order. So, you know, they gave me an Americano with caffeine. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I go, I can't have caffeine this late. You guys gave me the wrong drink. The store was still closed. I think it was just at the end of COVID, maybe. I went up to, I kind of waved at him from the other side of the drive-through lane. I wasn't like in the lane. And the woman was really sweet. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, we got that wrong. We'll get, come to the front door and we'll give you the proper order. I said, okay, great, thanks. So I'm knocking on the door. The manager gives me attitude. And she said, you have to go through the drive-through line. I'm like, whatever. I go back. I said, can I get the drink from here? I would have had to walk in front of a car to the window. And the girl goes, the manager says, you can't do that, sir. That's against the law. I'm like,
what?
How is this against the law? Like, everybody's got a hungry heart. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up.
Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I love
AKA
that.
Mike Shiger. Great to have you in studio, Mike. We were talking during the break about theater locally, and you're in a play next week. It's hard to book you on the show because you're so busy with the show, but Tell us about what you're into and what where people can see you in this show, Pippin.
Well, Pippin is actually playing. It started last weekend. It's running this week, actually, and weekend. It starts again tomorrow, and it's going to be at Broadway Theater in De Pere. And it's a great show, man. It is such a great
classic.
Show. Yeah, I'm doing actually pre-show magic where if you get there early enough and you come into the stand, you get to see me doing some magic. And I share it with, you know, people that are just kind of getting their seats. And it goes over really well because it's close-up magic, you know, and people don't expect it. So if you're going to the show or if you're thinking about going to the show, you'll get a little extra.
There you go. Where can people get tickets? And it's playing through this week only?
It is. It finishes this Saturday. So Tuesday through Saturday is your last chance. You can get tickets. If you just Google Broadway Theater De Pere, you will find it. But it's technically under Birder Studios. I believe it's birderstudios.org. But there, you know, either way, you can find it pretty easy if you just Google Broadway Theater De Pere, and then you'll find their website. And then there's links to tickets and things like that.
So you've done stand-up, you've done magic, you're in community theater. What is your favorite thing to do? Or does it change as you get older, your interests? Or you know, how does that work?
I just love to entertain. And I actually once heard Jim Carrey say this, so I'm going to quote him. And I thought, man, he just hit it on the head. That's how I feel. He said, I realized one night the purpose of my life, it is to free people from concern.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need that now more than ever. The whole reason I love doing this show is because I feel like it does bring people together. We talk about movies and TV and music and theater and comedy. And man, do we need that now more than ever. It's the same kind of effect that sports has. You kind of put your differences aside and hopefully bring people together. You have a card trick. Tell me, do you need to set this up before we do something?
No, there's
or
no
should
setup.
We save them? Should we save it for the second part of the...
We can save it if you want. If you want, what we could do is we could have some listeners play along. That's always fun.
Okay.
You know, if anybody's watching on Facebook or they're listening, grab an old deck of cards. Look, decks of cards are like a dollar and some change. I buy these by the case just because I do so much of this. And they get wrecked after time, but I still wreck them anyway on purpose. This trick actually involves kind of destroying the cards, so you won't be able to use them. Unless you tape them back together. But so if you got an old deck of cards, grab them. We'll have some fun, you know. And even if you're by yourself, it'll still work just fine. But it helps if you have more people. So if you got a few people with you, it'll work even better as a group. So
and you can watch, you'll do it to me here on the stream.
Yeah, we can do it to you. We could even have
Conrad
in there, grab a few cards if he wants to play along. I know he's got a lot of technical things going on, so it might be a challenge for him. But
he's still taking the memo I asked him to take like 15 minutes ago. I don't think he's that busy at the moment.
What was the other? I forgot the words that you wanted me to put down. Sorry.
See, we'll just rewind.
What were the words? we could do that, or do you want to do that? Because I want to talk to you about Houdini, too. Should we do the magic when we talk about Houdini? Would that be cooler?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So, but tell us a little bit about... I don't know a lot about magic. I think it's really cool when it's in front of me, but I don't Google it. I don't, you know, kind of do any research. Tell us about how magic came to be and the history of magic, if you would.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't get asked that much. I was actually going to teach magic in Sturgeon Bay. They offered me to teach a class there to elderly students that wanted to come back to school. Hmm. And I had a syllabus and I had it all laid out. And the company I was working for at the time, I couldn't get the time off because it was only like a couple days a week, 2-3 days a week or whatever.
Okay.
So it would have been kind of a cool gig. But it did involve going through the history. And the history of magic is interesting. And I just told somebody about this recently. The first magic that people like to talk about is when people were hunting and they were sort of wearing camouflage. They were wearing sticks and wearing things to disguise themselves from, you know, from whatever they were hunting. So that was the first illusion that people sort of utilized. Okay. They realized the art of illusion. Hey, if I, you know, look like the bushes, maybe I can get a little closer to the thing I'm hunting, you know?
Right.
So the art of illusion goes back that far. But as far as like card tricks, cup and balls, that's considered the oldest trick.
What's it called?
The cup and balls, where there's a cup, you know, and then there's the balls. I know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And no.
Conrad, are you giggling too?
It's not. I know.
It definitely is.
He thinks he's so mature. All right.
It doesn't have anything to do with cupping anything.
All right. Good to know. It's a family show, Mike.
But the interesting thing with that particular illusion, the cups and balls, if you will, there's an old painting, and I believe it's, I can't remember the name of it. It's like called The Thief or something like that. But in that painting, very old painting, is someone on the street and they've got a cup and some balls. And in the same painting is someone pickpocketing all the people watching the people. Because what it was is the trick was so great. Okay. Everybody would be so enthralled. Where's the ball? And they would never guess where it is because he's a magician. And then they go, oh, I thought it was there. Nope. And they're so distracted. People would bump into you and pickpocket.
Genius.
So, yeah, right? So, because of that, magic got a bad rap on the street. If you went to a fair, and there was somebody doing that, stay away from that guy. He will rip
you
off.
Wow.
So get this. There was a magician back then. I don't know the date on this. You'll have to Google this if you're one of those people. But he's credited with inventing tickets for a show. This magician. Because what was happening is people were getting ripped off. So he's like, man, I do good magic. I don't rip anybody off. I want them to see my show. He put up a tent at the fair with a one door in, one door out. And then he had a table at the end of the tent where there was no one behind him. There was no one behind you. You bought your ticket. You went in like one at a time or with your group of your friends.
Right.
You got tickets and then you went in with your, you know, you saw, and he was known for taking like 28 eggs out of an empty basket. That was his famous trick. If you Google that, you'll know the guy. But, He made that the idea of getting a ticket because then you had to, you know, you could get a ticket for the show and then you could go in and see the show and you knew you weren't going to get robbed because you were in a tent and no one was able to get to you, right? So anyway, that's
that is fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
Just to keep people safe from magicians.
Yeah, yeah. He had to change the tone of magic. He totally changed the tone. You know, and then it worked its way into vaudeville, where a lot of magic got its life there, where it became special effects. People wanted more than just a play or more than just, you know, singing. They wanted special effects, and the special effects were just that. They were illusions and magic, and they were good, man, back then. You know, and there's a lot of history on that, too, and there were even things that were used to, you know, create illusion that, you know, were pretty obvious, but they worked because they were never thought of and that kind of stuff. So it brought plays to a different level, you know,
that kind of thing. Yeah. Mike Jagera is my guest. He's also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. He is in studio here tonight at Nightlight helping us unwind from the RNC. If you're just joining us, welcome. So, all right. I love that. So how do you... trying to think what we should do here. Okay, so tell us, what is the name of the trick? When we come back from the break, we'll do the trick.
Okay.
And then we'll talk some Houdini. So tell us the name of the card trick.
Okay, I call it Loves Me, Loves Me Not.
Okay. There's nothing risque like you just said a few minutes
ago. No, it just takes you back to when you're a kid with a daisy and you're pulling the daisy pedal.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Off from my home. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When you
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Ernesto gains strength as it heads toward Bermuda. It has left behind a mess and power outages in Puerto Rico. And CBS's Chris John Benavides reports.
Forecasters say the Northeast could see 8-foot waves, and the Carolinas, still recovering from Tropical Storm Debbie, could experience a swell build as early as Thursday.
Presidential nominees Donald Trump and Kamala Harris both campaign in North Carolina this week. Trump was in Asheville today.
Are you better off now with Harris and Biden than you were with a person named President Donald J. Trump? Do you know him? He's a nice gentleman. Nice gentleman.
Year-over-year inflation was below 3% last month for the first time since 2021. The consumer price index rose 0.2% between June and July. CBS's Jolene Kent.
We saw meaningful changes in how much it costs to buy a used car. For example, gas prices are also down.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An incoming Democratic state lawmaker from Madison is a trailblazer. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin will get its very first South Asian member of the state assembly. There was a three-way race for the 77th Assembly District. Renuka Mayadev ended up winning. She works in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. There's no Republican running in November, meaning Mayadev wins the seat. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Law enforcement officers who killed a teenager who brought an air rifle to Mount Horeb Middle School in May will not be charged. The Dane County DA says the officers acted appropriately. Justice Department investigators say the officers followed correct protocols when confronted with what looked like a lethal weapon. No one but the teenage subject was killed that day. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire man has been sentenced to prison following his conviction in a string of arson fires around the area. According to a WQOW report, Joshua Strom has been sentenced to a year and a half in prison following convictions on three of the seven charges he was facing. Strom allegedly told police he was angry about being kicked out of a homeless shelter before he lit a porta potty on fire at Owen Park. He also admitted to starting a fire at a bus shelter on Claremont Avenue near the former Sacred Heart Hospital. The Pablo Center in Eau Claire has announced it will host its inaugural first robotics competition on Saturday. According to a WQOW report, the event will feature head-to-head robotic matches, hands-on STEM activities for all ages, and pit tours for visitors to see the behind-the-scenes action of preparing and fixing robots during a competition. The event is free and open to the public from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. There will also be two food trucks available outside the event, which will donate some proceeds to a robotics team. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, upper 70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday, high mid-70s. The weekend looks nice with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. Right now it's 73.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. Now, I was involved in politics for 30 plus years. I've never seen anything in the state of Wisconsin like I saw in Eau Claire last week. 2 miles away from the venue, and there were cars parked alongside the road.
It's not just cities, it's rural places and small towns and medium-sized towns. It's everything. Voters realize in this moment they have the power to shape history.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a Throwback Thursday edition of the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We're still celebrating the glorious blue victory in the partisan primary. Devils.
The Devils Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Yeah.
Hey, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Pete is on vacation this week, so I put together some great interviews over the past couple months. Right now we have Radio for Pets, who performed four songs in studio. Hope you enjoy. Someone's living for their lover.
And I love her. I love her. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome tonight by the band Radio for Pets. They are in studio. They are a punk band. You guys describe yourself, but not all of your stuff is punk.
Yeah, it's... Well, I always like to call our general style genre anarchy. Like we kind of just play whatever we think sounds cool for any given part. Like we don't really try to like hold to any specific genre. Like sometimes we'll do like a jazz breakdown or something. You know what I mean? Like we really like to experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. So all right. So Billy, you're the lead singer. Billy Block.
Yes.
Sam Wargula.
Yes, sir.
Guitarist?
Yes, sir.
You're my connection to Radio for Pets.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And Rick Kubley. Welcome, guys. Great to have you here. Thanks for making... Do you live in Green Bay?
Yeah.
I know you do. I know Sam.
So I'm the only one that lives north in Marinette, Menominee area. Rick lives in Appleton.
Okay.
And then everyone else is Green. But all four of us, except for Rick, are from the Marinette, Menominee,
no kidding.
Cribbets area, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. First of all, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, well, I heard you won a Whammy, which is cool. We'll talk about that. That's pretty cool stuff. But I love the fact that I don't equate Marinette, Menominee, Cribbets, that part of the state or country, with punk music. I think that's really cool. So I had to have you guys on. So thanks for making the drive from all angles to get here. It's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about how did you guys get together?
I've been performing music now for about 20-odd years, give or take, something like that. And this project kind of came together after COVID. My previous band fell apart during the Rona. me and the drummer from the previous act got together, and he's been the drummer for basically every band I've ever been in. His name's Spencer. He couldn't be here today, but me and him go way back.
Nice.
And yeah, I don't know. It's I guess it's not a super interesting story. I just looked at my list of what are the best musicians I know, and are they doing anything?
Well, I would say actually, like the four of us at least. The four of us, we all played in the similar circles when we were like 14, 13, 14, 15, wow, up in the Marinette Menominee area. So like, I played with our bass player in high school. And then I went 10 years and I moved back and I saw Radio for Pets had a different guitar player before me. And they were like, let's find another guitar player. And I was like, oh, I know three of these guys already. Let me just audition. And then I joined. Mm-hmm. Rick is the odd man out. He's just a replacement, if you will, from miscreant boy from a lost band that we kind of like, we like you. Let's let's bring you in.
I was in a different band previously and ours broke up right as they needed to fill a vacancy.
So they took took you in like a stray, like a pet, stray.
Exactly.
So tell us, all right, so that's kind of cool. So where does the name Radio for Pets come from?
The cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender, there's a sequel to it called Legend of Korra, and it's just, I can't even remember what character or what episode it is, but like in the middle of it, there's a guy like brainstorming business ideas, and you know, he's like, we could do chocolate crickets. No one's gonna eat those. Yeah, and you just like solve this. And then one of them was like, "Oh, Radio for Pets," and that's it. I just was like, "Hey, that's fun."
Do pets typically appreciate the music you guys play, or are they sort of indifferent?
I like to think so.
Sam shaking his head. No, they hate
it. Hey, I hate it. I've been pushing us for a pet-friendly lo-fi album for a long time. Lo-fi is probably my most played music. And I was like, if we could come out with a lo-fi album, it would be amazing.
They would dig that.
Yeah. Chill Radio for Pets beats to study to or whatever.
All right. So tell us, as we get to know you guys a little better, tell us about the Whammy, because that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a funny story. We didn't know that we were even finalists.
Yeah. We pushed for it so hard last year.
Yes.
And we ended up as runners up. And then this year we're like, screw it. We forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then we just suddenly got an email.
It wasn't even that. It wasn't even you. I have a friend in town named Lacey who plays with a band called the Trash Pandas. She was at, opening ceremony, or not the opening ceremony, the awards ceremony.
Okay.
And I was at home in my pajamas playing video games. And then I get a text from Lacey like, oh, hey, by the way, yo won. And I'm like, whoomst? What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And last year we asked everybody try and vote for us, yada yada yada. We put the link everywhere, and then this year we just completely forgot about it, and then it just happens, and we're like, wait, what?
So they just kind of nominated you anyway?
Without
your doing? I mean,
that's that's usually how the Whammy operates. It's they have a board that they have open submissions for the public to submit acts they think are worthy of a Whammy, and then there's board members who do the final voting and
okay
that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's cool. We have a couple of Whammy winners here at Civic Media, which I thought was really kind of a cool thing too. And do you guys, once you find out you win, is there some kind of concert to showcase the winners or anything like that?
Yeah. So this year, I don't know if they've done it prior years, but this year they had a stage set aside at Summerfest for people who won awards. They were just highlighting all the acts that won Whammies that year. And, we drove down and got there, and I believe we were setting stuff up on stage when the tornado sirens started going and thunder and lightning, and they were like, nope, pull the plug, we're done. And
Okay, because I saw that. Sam sent me some information about you guys, and he said we almost played at Summerfest. I didn't know if that meant you just were playing outside the fence or
we got booked. We drove up in a van and everything. We got special parking, and we were there. We were on stage, and they're like, storm's gonna. We're gonna wait it out, and we're like, okay, okay, okay. And then they're like, okay, you guys are canceling. We're like, okay, boo hoo. And then like, okay, wait, hold on, 5 minutes. And then we waited, and then we probably waited around hour and a half, 2 hours,
2 hours at least. Yeah,
yeah. But you know,
my gosh, what a tornadoes are considered the jerks of the natural disaster sect. Honest to God. So how big of a crowd would that have been?
Oh, there were so many people there. We were on a side stage, sort of off on the side, not on the big crazy main stage, but even
still,
the band before us was Iron Maiden.
They're an Iron Maiden tribute band.
Iron Maiden tribute band.
Oh, that's awesome.
Their crowd was huge, and it was if people are here for a cover band,
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that happened, guys.
Hey, they said they owe us, so they're gonna try and throw us a bone. So if any Whammy people are listening, remember, we won't forget.
Yeah. Listen, my experience in showbiz, and I've been in entertainment pretty much my whole adult life, is when people say, this isn't going to work out, but we definitely know we want to do something with you, that means they never want to see you again, at least in my experience. So I hope it's better for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear some music. What are you guys going to play for us first?
Yeah, so this first song is off of our EP we have out on all streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes, whatever, wherever you want to look us up. This song is called Fake Tats. It is about, summer love. I guess.
Yeah, it's sort of you wanted to write a Beach Boys song.
Yeah, I really wanted to make a Beach Boys song, and this was the closest I got to it.
All right, so it's called Fake Tats.
Yes.
Radio for Pets, performing in studio here at Nightlight. Boys, take it away.
Difficult, you are a saint for staying. I know things haven't quite been looking up, but I think it might be changing, 'cause we are all we've got, and the weather's getting hot.
So we could go down to the beach, get a case of beer or something. I don't know. Might be pretty cool.
We might be broke, but who cares? We got blue sky and fresh air. Besides that, wine and weed are cheap. Swear like a sailor at sea. You're always yelling.
and looking up, but I think it might be changing, 'cause we are all we've got. The weather's getting hot. Whoa. Up. I think it might be changing, 'cause we are all we've got. I said we are all we've got.
Very nice. That was great.
Thank you.
That's Rick, Billy, and Sam, Radio for Pets, performing Fake Tats. It's actually a very sweet song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys don't seem that punky. Like, you don't seem like, I don't feel like you're going to destroy the studio or like pull a Sid Vicious or something. You were talking about being in your pajamas playing video games. I'm like, yeah, that's very laid back. Like, you don't, you know. Yeah.
We're not angry punk. That's the okay. Capital P pop. Pop.
It's a great punk, song. Right, a lot of levels in there. I just love it. Very nice.
Thank you.
So, When the whammies call you, do they take one song into consideration, a show, an album? How does that work?
Well, they didn't call us. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Like, we just got an email, and
yeah. Who cares,
I would
right?
imagine it's just overall, like, presence. Like,
yeah.
How well are you known? Some of the people on the whammy bar don't even, never heard our music.
Right.
I know we got a vote from a lady who never heard us. They just knew of us.
I just know you guys are all around good guys. Okay. Radio for Pets is here. We got more with them coming up. They're going to play another song. We'll talk some more about music and have all kinds of fun here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick update about fun on the cheap. Board games. There's a bunch of new stuff out there that's a cheap way for families to have fun. Here are a few of my new favorites. Wavelength is a party game. It's a spin on charades or Pictionary. You predict your partner's response to something.
It's fun, it's smart, and we always end up laughing and laughing. And then there's Five Crowns. It's a great card game for a family of all ages. It's cheap to buy, and it's easy to learn. It's like Rummy, but with more suits. And last but not least, my favorite game is Wingspan. It's a competitive game about bird watching, which I love on so many levels, and my kid tolerates with me on special occasions. And good news, you can often try before you buy because sometimes local libraries have games you can check out. Head over to workmoney.org for more tips. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Pete is on vacation this week, so I put together some great interviews over the past couple months. Right now, we have Radio for Pets, who perform four songs in studio. Hope you enjoy.
So, what are you guys have a big gig coming up in Green Bay, right?
Yeah. So Sunday the 11th. So like this Sunday.
Yeah.
We're playing at the venue at the Tracks, with Rebelmatic, and
the other one.
Yeah. I can't remember.
They have I don't think we could say the name.
They have a very long name.
Oh, you can't physically say
it's
the name.
Physically, and it's probably inappropriate for radio.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I remember hearing it, and I was like, wait. That's yeah.
So you guys said, when I talked to Sam, he's like, I think our songs are appropriate for radio. Like, do you have really bad ones? And how does the crowd go nuts when you start saying really raunchy stuff?
Well, okay. I wouldn't say I have a lot of swear words, but we definitely have a lot of, like, that feels like it should be a swear word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of adult themes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And you'll sneak one in every now and then. And like, you'll have to like, that's why I was like, I wasn't sure because I had to like go through each song. I was like, is there a random ad lib F bomb here? I was like, I had to think about it.
No, we've had a few. We are live radio, so I appreciate that. But we have had the occasional slip up. These people getting gelato. They walk back and forth. Very nosy. Like now they see the guitars. They got to know what's going on. Take your gelato and shove it in your pie hole. All right. So what did you guys grow up? You know what? Let's do a song. I'm going to save some of these questions. We have several minutes left. So can we get another song in before the news?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. Awesome.
Absolutely. So this one is another one of our more lighter fare. I kind of tried to pick the happier songs, if I'm being honest. Like,
whatever you want.
It's like 30% really happy stuff, and then the rest of it is just soul-crushingly depressing. It's all, the saddest music you'll ever hear.
But it's also,
hey, this
it's
is
also
the anniversary of Elliott Smith's death. Do you know who Elliott Smith was? He did music for Good Will Hunting, and he struggled a lot with mental health and drugs and alcohol, and he pretty dark stuff, so... Apparently, I went too dark. I out-darked the punk band that's in the crowd. I didn't mean to do that. All right, so what do you guys have next?
So this song is called Hooray for Zero Gravity, and it's just another kind of love song. It's about, like, first date sort of energy. I don't know.
Wait, really? I thought it was about anime girls.
Well, yes.
First date with an anime girl.
But
waifus.
Yeah. We'll say yes. Yeah, we'll
there's some dissension here. I just hope it comes together when they're playing, folks. I'm with you guys. I don't know what's going on. They're punk rockers. You never know what you're going to get. But this is, what's it called?
Hooray for Zero
Hooray
Gravity.
Hooray for Zero Gravity. Radio for Pets in the studio here at Nightlife performing live.
What can I say to make you stay the night? All the words are lined up in my brain, but they come out never right. Little dove, you know that when you go, you'll leave me with sweating palms and confusing feelings. Go, and my life gains some meaning.
second ticking off the clock is another chance I have to beep this up. Even as the months turn into years, scaring you away is my biggest fear. Despite the coiling monsters in my head, you are the reason that I get out of bed. Do you believe in love? I'm not sure I do, Doug. If you swear you'll be mine, I'll hold you till I die. Your dad a boxer? 'Cause you're a knockout baby. Is your dad a boxer? 'Cause you're a knockout. Is your dad a boxer? 'Cause you're
for pets. I love it. Is your dad a boxer? That's great. Oh, so that, tell me again the name of that song, because I'm Spotify.
Oh, that one isn't out yet. That one's new. Oh, yeah,
sweet.
Yeah.
We got a sneak preview here.
Yeah, right. This one and I think the next one we're going to play if we do another one tonight are both brand new.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. So we got to do some news. You guys are going to stick around through the news, the award-winning news here at Civic Media, by the way. That's not a whammy. That's an actual different. That's a broadcaster's award. But Radio for Pets is hanging out in the studio here tonight at on Nightlight, and we have more with them coming up. Do you guys want to play us to break?
Oh God, I don't
Pick
know.
Pick something here.
Bringing it down. That's good news, Lita. We'll be right back with more Nightlight.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by one of the most reasonable men in Wisconsin politics, Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll talk about Tim Walz, inflation. We'll talk about it all. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.